It's November the 23rd, 2009. I'm Mike Benedetti. This is the legendary Talladega Grammy Gazette columnist Jim Dempsey. This is a class at WPI. Good class, guys. This is Brendan Mulligan, and we are 5-0-8, a show about Western. Today's topic is a topic that I think you've heard us talk about way too much, which is journalism in Worcester. And there's nothing that we have ever had to say that was interesting about it. But today we've got people who have interesting things to say, so we're bringing them into the conversation. How are you doing, Brendan?
I'm excellent. How are you? I don't actually have anything interesting to say about journalism.
About journalism in Worcester. Okay. Well, I want to talk to Jim Dempsey about this. You want to come over and...
Sure.
We'll go over and have this conversation. Now, could you fill in for people who don't know your background in the city?
Sure. I worked at the Telegram and Gazette from 1980 to 2001.
Okay.
And most of that time I was the so-called Metro columnist.
Okay. So for people who read the paper today, you were like what Diane Williamson and Clyde McFarlane are doing today.
Yes.
Okay. And now you're teaching at WPI?
I am.
How are you liking it?
I love it.
And what is your take on sort of what's happened to journalism in Worcester over the last 5 to 10 years?
I think I looked like a genius for getting out at the time I did.
Okay. Did you leave when New York Times bought the paper?
It was after then.
Okay.
It was after then. And they were offering a series of buyouts, and I had been doing my job for almost 20 years, and I was ready for something new.
Okay.
So I was happy to take the buyout.
And this was back when the paper was worth $300 million or something, right?
The internet was making some serious inroads at the time.
Okay.
And I think it was obvious to a lot of us that that was where the future was.
Okay.
But newspapers, and I think I would include the Telegram and Gazette, were sort of pretty slow in jumping on the train that was leaving the station
at the time. Well, sometimes it's hard to make those switches, I think.
It's hard to make any large institution or corporation, it's hard to make a change.
Right.
It's hard
right.
to change direction.
Yeah. As a blogger, as a Worcester independent journalist guy, I sometimes feel like, well, maybe, hey, guys, let's put on a show. Hey, kids, like maybe the people who are just writing stuff casually in Worcester could make some contribution to this. And there was do you read Clay Shirky's essays online? Do you know who I'm talking about?
No.
He's a media guy. I think he's out of New York University. He gave a speech and a column a couple months ago where he was commenting on the idea that the daily newspaper in most towns creates what he thought was 85% of the iron core of news. That is that, you know, what we're talking about like on our show or what people are talking about in other places, a lot of that's just like regurgitated stuff that somebody at the Telegram and Gazette, for example, did the footwork, put the news together.
Hmm.
And so with sort of the decline in advertising dollars and other sort of systemic problems that are sort of hurting newspapers as a form, you know, taking money out of that world, making it so there's less and less reporters. Suddenly you have 85% of the iron core of news being like the kind of stuff that keeps there from being widespread corruption in your city, or helps people to stay involved, or helps people know what was going on with that fire last night, or what's going on with the schools these days. Hmm. That was just going to go away, or fade a little bit. And that he thought that was a real civic problem. And he suggested that instead of trying to think, how do you replace the 85%, because then you kind of recapitulate the problem of what happens when that 85% goes away. He said, what if you come up with 17.5% solutions? You know, what if you just say we're going to have a diversity, we're going to try to have more nonprofits be involved, we're going to try to have more whatever models. People can come up with whatever models they need. And so one thing we've talked about is is there a way that you could get the bloggers of Worcester as a whole to just do 5% of the serious news reporters in the city of Worcester?
Absolutely. And
think,
I don't make the same distinction between the journalist and the blogger that a lot of people do, especially
those
in the mainstream. I think you have good and bad journalists, and you have good and bad bloggers.
Yes.
Interesting and dull.
Yeah.
It works both ways, too. The onus is much more on the consumer of news to cherry-pick what's useful for him or her from what is now a lot of stuff. It used to be the local TV station, the local radio station, Worcester Magazine, and the Telegram and Gazette.
Mm-hmm.
And that basically covered it. Telegram and Gazette doesn't cover the city anything like it used to. It can't. It just doesn't have the bodies to do it.
Right.
And news is hugely labor-intensive. There's no quick way of getting some information except having a body go and interview people, go to the courthouse, get some public records, do a database search on the internet. It's just time. Mm-hmm. You just have to do it.
Right.
And if you don't have the bodies, you can't do as much. That's all there is to it.
Right.
And I think what's happened because of that is that the daily local newspaper in a small city like Worcester has become less relevant, generally.
Okay.
I'm not sure they realize that yet, but the people are getting their news from bloggers and from other sources, social networking sites,
right.
shows like yours, are becoming as important as everything else. So I think that the vacuum's going to be filled.
Okay.
Quite naturally.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it is that kind of like go down to the courthouse and get the records or you know, have a good rapport with the police. I don't know what you need to do crime reporting. I mean, have a good rapport with the police PR people, right?
Yeah, but in Worcester, I don't think anybody has a good rapport with the police anymore.
The average person could probably has an easier job of that than the Telegram these days.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess that's the kind of reporting that there's a concern that, like, me and Brendan or, like, Jeff Barnard, who writes the Wormtown Taxi blog or whatever, we can cover stuff that we see, stuff that we do, but if there's, you know, if there's other things going on, these things are going to, you know, can slip through the cracks if there's not somebody who's knowledgeable and full-time working on them.
Yeah,
I guess that's the concern. I don't know if that, I think it's a reasonable concern.
Yeah, it's, what we need is a kind of assignment editor, czar.
Yes.
You know, somebody who can look at all these balkanized forms of information and let people know what's going on and what's interesting, what's coming down the line. I mean, that was the assignment editor's job at the newspaper. I don't
right.
know if that's still being done. Again, you need the hot bodies to go out and do the work, though,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah,
you know, and I don't think it's going to be very easy to herd together all those bloggers and whatever.
Yeah, because I think that's sort of their strength is that they don't have to coordinate with each other.
Yes.
There's not a lot
yes.
of meetings to be a blogger in Worcester. You just go out and do the thing.
Right.
I mean, the New York Times, I know, in Brooklyn has experimented with assignment desk stuff for the populace. I don't know if you know about this, that they, you know, if you live in, I think maybe in Greenpoint or someplace, they'll be like, these are the meetings that it would be great if somebody in Greenpoint wrote something up and sent it to us, and if it seemed credible, we'll put it on the Times website. They've experimented with this. I would love to see something like that. We talked to Worcester Magazine about it and never really could make it happen.
Right.
If somebody with some kind of institutional credibility, because the bloggers otherwise have no incentive to participate, right? It's like, what are you going to give them in order? Like, what are you going to give me in order that I like go to some meeting and write a blog post about it?
Yeah, well, you've got to appeal either to the professionalism or to the passion. Usually,
yeah.
the bloggers have passion
yeah.
and are willing to do a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fascinating the way reporting itself has kind of had to change to adjust to what's going on. Worcester Magazine does a live blog of the city council meetings.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were always told and taught that the worst way you can cover a meeting is to chronologically say
right.
what is happening one thing after
uh-huh.
another, but that's exactly what the live blog is. And for the people who want to stay up to date on what's going on, it's great.
For me, it's the best. For my purposes, which
yes.
are not mainstream, it's the best possible way.
Because it covers everything.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like, you know, a baseball scorecard. It's every play is
right
there.
Right.
For somebody else, somebody from out of town, they want somebody who's going to do a little editing. They want
yes.
a bit of a filter. So someone
right.
will say, this is going to really hit your tax bill.
Right.
They talked about this last night.
This is the one of the 35 things
yeah.
we're talking about. This is the one that's actually the most important.
Right, and that's what reporters used to be trained in, to kind of find the news and make that kind of editing decision before the story's even written.
Mm.
So this is what you call agenda setting, you know? And
right.
this used to fall to the local newspaper to be able to decide what the discussion would be for the next week or so.
Mm.
That's going down now. That's being considerably weakened and lessened.
Yes.
Very interesting times.
Yes. Just as a point of information for making your own videos like this, we're now at 9 minutes and 30 seconds. So now I know I need to sort of wrap things up a little bit with Jim. And I'm trying to think desperately, how are we going to get the WPI students who've been a little bit quiet so far to like give us a couple of nuggets that will energize people watching this? And I'm going to hand it over to Brendan Mellican, who's great at that.
I'm not going to do that. I'm going to get arrested. I was listening to what you were saying about the Telegram, though. I do have one thing that I wanted to say. The thing that's interesting about Worcester and journalism is Worcester is kind of a best-case scenario to look at what's changed, not necessarily what's gone wrong, but just what's changed in journalism, it seems, for over the last 20 years, where there's been no competing daily paper of record, you know, other than itself. I mean, you go back to the days when it was the Evening and Evening, the Morning Telegram, Evening Gazette. It was the only time that there was actually a competing daily paper, and yet we've still seen that sort of collapse of the old system and the old way of doing things. Where you're mentioning resources, we've talked a number of times about you go back long enough. Worcester had a dedicated tennis reporter. We had we'd have a desk in the cell room at the police department, so there would be that good relationship to make sure that stories would come out fully fleshed out from the police department. You wouldn't have the hesitation to talk to the press. The relationships already existed, and it seems as though that if anyone was to ever go and make the argument that it's just been the encroachment of new media on old media, that Worcester is almost the perfect place to look at that and say, well, that really can't be the case, because you have this institution in the form of the Telegram that really didn't see any sort of, well, there's nobody's really attacked the Telegram. You know, you've got bloggers aren't really moving in on that space in any way, because you still have the need, like you said, for outsiders and insiders to get that edited, fully thought out story, not just a live blog of a public meeting. The Telegram really doesn't have any competition, yet something still has changed, whether it just be revenue. I mean, that's one thing, but that would be more of looking at, advertising sources and what have you. And again, it's not like advertising dollars have really left Worcester, because there's no competition, so to speak. So it really does seem as though there's something bigger at play than just outside attackers on old institutions. It seems as though the institution itself really is just kind of falling apart for no obvious reason, other than maybe it's just time for it to start falling apart. The foundation is finally giving way.
Mr. Gorbachev.
What's that?
Pull down that newspaper,
yeah,
Mr.
Gorbachev.
Yeah,
but it's an odd thing in Worcester to see. You look at almost any other medium to large-sized city, you have multiple dailies that have always been in competition with one another, so they could point fingers and say, this is where our advertising revenue is going. This is where our eyeballs are going. This is where the circulation's going. Worcester's never had that. We've always just had that one paper, and doesn't seem to be any good excuse as to why things have changed so dramatically over the last 10 years.
I worked on the Evening Gazette when it was the Evening Gazette, before the two papers merged, and there was a huge amount of competition between the two papers. And obviously, it was owned by the same organization,
right.
so there wasn't that kind of distancing. But I think the professionalism of the journalists involved really made them very, very competitive, whatever their beat was at the time. So I think you did get the benefit of that.
Yeah.
Perhaps not as much as you could if there'd been two separate corporations
right.
owning different papers.
There you
now
go.
Now we need to get people involved.
How about we talk about some of the interactions that those of you from out of town have had with Worcesterites, whether it's the neighbors next to your frat house or the bartender at the Boynton, or the down at Acapulco's. It's not Acapulco's
right.
anymore.
York.
What's it called?
No. You guys are impressed. What's your experience then with the city in general? Neighbor experience.
I'm in a residential neighborhood across Park Ave, and we're actually part of the neighborhood association. It's called Greater Hammond Heights, I believe. Neighborhood association.
Okay.
And we have meetings. I think they're either once a week or once a month. And what we do is we're a representation for the neighborhood. We help them out with community service events. Last month, they had a yard sale in downtown Worcester, so we helped them set up for that. And then just recently up at Bancroft Tower, we had a haunted house up there for the little kids. So
stuff between you and the neighbors is going great.
For the most part, yeah. In the past, it hasn't, but so far this year, we've been really fixing some relationships that were broken in the past.
Were they broken as recently as last year? Would you say?
From what you've heard.
From what I've heard,
I would say like 2 years ago, probably. Last year, it wasn't that bad. That's when we started really getting on their good sides.
So it took you maybe like a year, 2 years to kind of
patch
things up.
Yeah.
Have you heard, I don't know, I think it was this week at the city council meeting, some of the city councilors were describing the scene down at Holy Cross,
yeah.
that they said Mardi Gras was the best explanation, which sadly is a lie, but that was what they said. I mean, does this describe your neighborhood? Is there a lot of partying and stuff going on?
No, we're the only fraternity up there.
Okay.
I don't really know too many other students that live up there.
Okay.
But especially at our school, they do a lot of governing between the fraternities to make sure that the neighbors don't get disturbed. If the neighbors get disturbed, they're supposed to contact the school and the WPI police before the Worcester police.
Yes, yes.
And there's obviously some pretty bad repercussions if you break any rules or policies set by the school.
There you go. Well, I think that's probably the last comment we have time for. And so I want to wrap something up. Anyway, I want to thank all the students for being here. I want to thank Jim for giving us this opportunity to talk to people. I want to thank people of the internet and people of Channel 13 for watching this. You know how to get a hold of us. You know how to tell us what we're wrong about. You know how to tell us what the solutions are. And I hope you guys had a good Thanksgiving. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.